Lord, we thank you for babies. And Lord, we thank you for families. And we thank you for friends. And we thank you for this time of year, Lord. Lord, it is such a beautiful time to reflect on you. And Lord, I ask God that you will allow us to discover what it really means to be thankful people. In the name of Jesus, amen. Well, the following, this comes from Governor Bradford in 1623. This is 3 years after the pilgrims landed on Plymouth Rock. To all ye pilgrims, inasmuch as the Great Father has given us this year an abundant harvest of Indian corn, wheat, peas, squash, and garden vegetables, and has made the forest to abound with game and the sea with fish and clams, and inasmuch as he has protected us from the raids of the savages, has spared us from pestilence and disease, has granted us freedom to worship God according to the dictates of our own conscience. Now I, your magistrate, do proclaim that all ye pilgrims with your wives and ye little ones do gather at ye meeting house on ye hill between the hours of 9 and 12 in the daytime on Thursday, November ye 29th of the year of our Lord, 1623, in the third year since ye pilgrims landed on ye Plymouth Rock, there to listen to ye pastor and render thanksgiving to ye Almighty God for all his blessings. This Thursday is Thanksgiving. It's one day which those early pilgrims set aside to thank God and give thanks to God. And now there's nothing wrong with doing that. There's nothing wrong with putting a day aside and thanking God and honoring God with that specific day. But the scriptures talk a little differently about that. And if you have your Bible, you're going to want to turn. You're going to want to be in Ephesians. We're going to be in Ephesians 5, 18 through 20. And the other passage you're going to want to put your thumb at is 1 Thessalonians 5, 16 through 18. And the passages, these passages are passages that I hold pretty, quite dear to my heart because one of these passages is what I call a life verse. And if you don't know what a life verse is, it's a verse in which you adopt in order to live your life and move forward with God and be progressive in your journey with God. And it may be a hard verse to live up to, but here's the first one. Ephesians 5, 18 through 20. Now, I was going to leave out the first part of this, and I was going to write 18b through 20, but I think I'm just going to take the whole thing because sometimes during the holidays, yeah, people like to throw back some drinks. But this passage is pretty clear. Do not get drunk on wine. And I hear someone say, that's all right. I drink vodka. Right? No. Don't get drunk. Okay? Do not get drunk on wine, which leads to debauchery. Instead, are you ready for this? Wait. No, I don't think you're ready. You ready for this? It says, be filled with the Spirit. Speak to one another with psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs. Sing and make music in your heart to the Lord, always giving thanks to God the Father for everything in the name of who? You got it. So in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, and always giving thanks. I'm going to share the next one. This is the one that I have adopted as my life verse. I was in a service one time, and I heard the pastor preach, And I'll never forget what he said during his sermon. He said, if you remember nothing else from this sermon, remember three things. You get that? If you remember absolutely nothing else, remember three things. So he wants me to remember three instead of just one. But remember three things. But I never forgot the sermon because he said, be joyful always, pray continually, and give thanks in all circumstances. And what does it say? For this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. Be joyful always, pray continually, give thanks in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. Some of you are looking at that and going, be joyful always. I am not always joyful. That's impossible. I want you to know this morning, and I want myself to know this. All things are possible through Christ who gives me strength. All things. And Christ gives us strength. Therefore, his Spirit is in us, and we have power to be and do immeasurably more than we can ever fathom or imagine. And be joyful always. Joy is not happiness. It's not. It's not being happy and, ha, 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 I feel great. Oh, this is fantastic. Like, it's not laughing through life. But you know what it is? It's in the midst of difficulties and trying times and frustrating times that we can step away and realize that we are blessed and God is still on the throne, but he's not just on the throne. He's on the throne of our heart, but he's not just on the throne of our heart. He's the God of all creation. He's a God that restores and redeems and heals and regenerates. He's the God that transforms, and he's the God that pours out joy always. Pray continually. We are to constantly be in communication with God. It's not getting on your knees and having to pray. Did you know you can pray with your eyes open? No? Why is it that we think that prayer is when we close our eyes and bow our heads? What happened to us? It's not just like that. We do close our eyes and bow our heads in order to focus on God. But we don't have to close our eyes and bow our heads. Some of you are going to be like, well, during the worship gathering, I'm going to be looking straight ahead from now on. And you'll be like, look at that person, look at that person. And you get distracted. That's why we close our eyes, in case you're wondering. But there was a missionary in the Congo, and he learned that in the Congo, you don't want to close your eyes while you pray. Because this was back many, many years ago when the Congo was crazy. It's not even called the Congo anymore. Anyway, I won't get into that. That's a different sermon. Now, pray continually. So basically, praying continually is being in constant communication with God. Now, here we go. For this, give thanks in all circumstances. How many of you could say you give thanks in every single circumstance in your life? I didn't raise my hand either, did I? You know why we don't? Because we start focusing on the problems, and we start focusing on the pain, and we start focusing on the sorrow, and we start focusing on whatever it is, the ailment, whatever it may be, the relationship issues, the family issues, the work-related issues, whatever it may be. And we focus on that instead of realizing that we are actually called out children of God. Did you know you are an adopted child of God if you are in Christ? Did you know that? No, you don't know that? You know that. You're smart people. And we've talked about that before. But we are adopted. To adopt somebody, adoption is, you know, I choose you. I choose you. And you're my child. In 1 Peter 2, it says, you are a holy people, a royal priesthood, a people belonging to God. You are a chosen people, a holy people, a royal priesthood, a people belonging to God. Have you ever prayed like that? Have you ever said, Lord God, I thank you for being a chosen person, a holy person, a royal priesthood. I am a person that belongs to you. Have you ever prayed like that? Do you know what that does? That's like the words of encouragement and affirmation coming upon your very soul. God's like, hey, Colby, I know you messed up, but did you know you are this? You aren't what you think you are. You are this. And some of us have very low self-image. I want to say to you this. If you have a low self-image, if you've wrestled through that in your life, if you've been trying to figure out, what do I do with this? I want to share this with you. That look at yourself the way God would look at you. And yeah, we have imperfect minds, and we have finite minds, and God's infinite. But God looks at you as beautiful, incredible, amazing. You're His creation. He created you. It's kind of like we have some artists here, and the potter takes this lump of clay. We are lumps of clay that have been turned into some of the clay the potter, the artist, the sculptor, uses for noble purposes, and others for ignoble purposes, and it's up to the potter. He is the potter. We are the clay. We are a lump of mold that's being turned into what God has us to be, meant for noble purposes. How cool is that? Paul's main subjects here, here they are, is praise, thanksgiving. Notice these other words. Always, continually, and in all circumstances. That's pretty bold stuff right there. Now, there's some of us that have wrestled with relationships. Some of us, even in this small faith community, have wrestled with different relationships in the midst of a Christian community. And I want to tell you this. God is a God that can restore relationships. And some of us may be wrestling with someone in here, in this particular church community. I don't know all the intricacies of everything that goes on, but I do know that sometimes people have strife toward one another. But God is the God of reconciliation. He desires us to be reconciled one to another. He desires us to be reconciled to Him. And man, when those two things take place, the Holy Spirit will fall upon us and we will discover this God that restores and regenerates and heals all those broken wounds and gashes. And some of us may need to step up and step out. And maybe it's a family member, maybe it's a friend, maybe it's someone that we haven't talked to in like 30 years. This is a time of year to give thanks and not be focused on the negative things, those things that are taking us away from God. We want to be focused on those things in which God can connect us more deeply and more profoundly to Himself. You may need to reconcile with somebody. You may have a relationship in your life that has severed or been broken, or maybe you got mad at them or they got mad at you. But as believers, as Christ followers, it's so incredibly critical to go to that brother or that sister and say to them, you know what, I've wronged you. Or you can say, I apologize. I don't know what I've done to wrong you. But we need to step up and we need to do what God calls us out to do in order to display His love and compassion. Because that's when healing really comes. And sometimes the other people may not reciprocate that. And you know what? It's not about the reciprocation of that. It's about us stepping away from our own human fleshly desires to maybe hate or dislike or hold distance. And I'm not saying go and talk to somebody that hurt you and abused you and things like that. You need to pray about it and ask God, Lord, what should I do with this? Because I want to be able to give thanks to you, God. I don't want to focus on this stuff from the past. Boy, I just went on a tangent, didn't I? We're going to keep going. There's three things that keep us from being thankful. And the first thing is pride. Some of us are puffed up, and we think we're all that. And I've done this by myself, and I've achieved this by myself. And I went to school, and I accomplished this, and I did that, and that, and that, and that, and that. And I can do anything. And we don't say, God empowers me. We say, I have done this, I have done that, I have done. And it's all about ourselves. And what's scary is sometimes we make a lot of things in our lives about ourselves when it shouldn't be. And I've heard some say, what do you mean we need to make a lot of stuff about ourselves? Because if we don't, then we'll get abused in this life. And in this life, you will have trouble of many kinds. But you know what? That's all right. Because we can take rest. Because God is who He says He is. So this pride that a lot of us wrestle with, I know pride can be an issue for a lot of guys. And I know it's been an issue with me in the past. And it still is to this day. I still wrestle with it. I actually have prayed, Lord, eradicate this pride from me. Humble me, God. Humble me for many years. When you pray that prayer, you want to know what's going to happen? Anyone think about it? What would happen? You're going to be humbled? And a lot of times that means troubles. It means difficulties. And you're like, well, I didn't really pray that prayer. And I'm going through a lot of difficulties and a lot of pain. I didn't pray for that. Well, in the midst of your affliction, the pain, the sorrow, whatever it may be, God's there going, and you may not even hear Him, but you got to listen. Be still and know that I am God. We need to be still and know that He is God. Wait on the Lord. Take heart, be strong, and wait on the Lord. And you may say, well, I've waited long enough. And I've done that before. I'm like, God, are you going to show up here? What's going on? And we start making it about us. We start even making our prayer lives about ourselves. Prayer is communication with God. Communication isn't a one-way stream. We don't just shoot things. We need to listen. Be strong and take heart and know that I am God. So the first thing that keeps us from being thankful is pride. The second thing is a critical spirit or a constant complainer. You know anybody like that? Did you say that's me? Wow, she admitted that. Wow, that's good. At least you know. It's not good that you're like that, but yeah, you know. Well, you know what? The first step in realizing something like that is actually, when you actually realize something like that, it's very important to start praying. God, purge me of this. Eradicate this from me, God. I shared with you that I used to scuba dive. I got certified when I was 13 years old. And my uncle was huge into scuba diving, and he got me into it. And I started scuba diving, and before you go down, so you won't have bubbles in your tank and your air, help me out, your regulator, my mind went blank. So you won't have air in your regulator so you can breathe properly and have proper oxygen as you're going down. You need to purge the tank. You need to purge it and get all the stuff out in order to breathe the healthy air. Sometimes we got to pray. Actually, a lot of times we've got to pray, Lord, purge me of this debris within me. Lord, I need to be purged. And when you purge a tank, it goes, it's super loud. And I used to like the sound, so I'm 13, I mean, I'm calling. And the instructor's like, Colby, what are you doing? I said, nothing. I'm like one of my kids, you know, that's what my kids do now. And then he's like, oh, okay. And then I go, and he goes, right? I mean, we've all done that before, I'm sure. And the funny thing is my son does the same thing. I'll show you, I'll show you a picture of that boy. You're gonna freak out. It's hilarious. I will show you this picture someday soon. But one day, I noticed, I'm like, Troy, where are you? Troy, where are you? And I saw the bathroom door was locked. And I'm like, Troy, you in there? No answer. I jiggled the handle, and I'm like, come on out. No answer. I'm like, oh, man. So I grabbed the key up there and pushed it in and opened the door. And I walk in, and he's standing on a stool, and he looks at me. He had powder all over his face, his arms. He had taken his shirt off on his body, all over himself. And he's like, I said, well, Troy, what are you doing? And he goes, nothing. And then he starts walking out. I started laughing so hard. And I was just like, oh my gosh, this is ridiculous. And the kid's all pure white. And he's like, I'm like, are you kidding me? What? Nothing. Don't we do that a lot? How are you doing? Okay. What's going on? Nothing. When we have all sorts of things going on. I mean, that's a casual question, but it's not casual at all. It's deep and profound. So you know what I started doing when I was in college? When people started saying, hey, how you doing? And started walking away. I'm like, well, actually, I'm really doing bad. And I keep walking. I'm like, wait. I said, actually, I'm really doing bad. I have this and that. Just messing with them. And they're like, oh, what are you talking about? What are you talking? I said, well, you said, how am I doing? And people would be like, I said, well, you don't want to listen? You ask how I'm doing. They go, oh, I can listen. And then when they go, what's up? I go, well, the sky is up, but also, I mean, there's a lot of things up. Can we talk about it? And people, they didn't know what to do with that. Try that. People wouldn't know how to respond. And then I noticed something else. People will say, how's it going? And then you say, so someone says, how's it going? And you'll say, what would you say? You would say good, okay? What? Okay, if I said, what's up, what would you say? Nothing? Okay, so someone says, how's it going? You ever hear nothing? You ever get that for a response when you say, how's it going? Nothing, because they're not listening to the question. May we be a community of faith that actually listens to one another and cares what each other says. We are in a society that doesn't listen and doesn't seem to care too much. It's all about me, 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 me. May we give thanks because it's not all about us. It's all about what Jesus has done for us. He died and rose from the grave so we can have life and have it abundantly. No amen there? I didn't mean to frighten you with the amen. Amen means may it be so. I'm back. May it be so. May it be so. How about this? Three things that keep us from being thankful. Careless. Carelessness. Not really caring. Someone once said that if the stars only came out once a year, we would stay out all night to watch them. But they are there every single night, and we have grown accustomed to them. The Israelites, they grappled and they grumbled and they complained and they were miserable. And they're like, we need food. We're hungry. This isn't right. We're just walking around. We have no food. This is ridiculous. So miraculously, God provides manna from heaven. That's bread. That's a crust-like bread. Provides it from heaven. They're not satisfied. They gripe and complain and moan and wail. Sometimes we do that, don't we? We're getting blessed, yet we complain and gripe and moan. Rudyard Kipling, you may have heard of him. He was a writer and a poet whose writings some of us have read. And unlike many of old, he actually made a profession out of writing. And most writers back then, they couldn't make a profession. They didn't make any money. And he did. He was a rarity. One time, a newspaper reporter came up to him and said, "Mr. Kiplinger, I just read that somebody calculated the money that you make per word." And he said, "What? Really?" And he said, "You make $100 a word." The reporter cynically took out of his pocket a $100 bill. And he looked him in the eye and he said, "Mr. Kipling, I ask you that you give me a $100 word." Handed him the $100 bill. And Kipling looked at it and he goes, folded it, put it in his pocket, and the reporter's going, and he said, "Thanks." He's right. The word is certainly a $100 word, but I would say it's a $1 million word. If we start saying thank you and are appreciative to people and are appreciative to God and give thanks to God, our entire continents change. Our entire continent will change. Our entire world will change. Because when we give thanks in all circumstances, you talk about a revolution. The Beatles said something like that, didn't they? Talk about a revolution. Who can sing? Because I can't. I mean, I can, but it's not pretty. Right? They talked about it. They sang about a revolution. But Jesus was a revolution. He caused a revolution. And it's a revolution of our soul. We are now made new and fresh and beautiful and pure. All right. I'm going to try to go a little quick now. All right? Hang with me. There's three things we learn about Thanksgiving from the Bible. Thanksgiving should be expressed. You know what that means? Actually, expressing it. Like we sang a song earlier. It came from Psalm 100, which says, "Enter his gates with thanksgiving and his courts with praise." So we need to enter his gates with thanksgiving and his courts with praise. And then in Psalm 107, it says, "Give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. His love endures forever. Give thanks to the King of hosts. His love endures forever." So God's love endures forever. And we sang the song, "Your Love Remains." And I've heard some people say, "Why do praise songs continue to repeat, repeat, repeat? One thing remains, your love never fails. It never gives up. It never gives out on me." We need to be reminded that over and over and over again, that God's love never fails, it never gives up, it never goes out on me, it never turns away. People will fail us, but God's love never will. The next thing. Well, actually, in Romans 1:21, "For although they knew God, they neither glorified him as God nor gave thanks to him, but their thinking became futile and their foolish hearts were darkened." May our thoughts, may they not become futile. May we actually give thanks and praise in the midst of everything in life. You may say, "Well, how do I give thanks? How do I say thank you to God?" I'm going to give you 7 ways. You ready for this? Spend time with him, not just 1 hour a week. Try to spend time with God. I mean, we gather together. There's a lot of people that just gather on Sunday, and that's church. That's not church. Church is gathering together outside of these walls and connecting with one another and ironing, sharpening iron. We can't do it for 1 hour. Well, with my preaching, it's probably like 2 hours. And So spend time with God, not just 1 hour a week or 1.5 hours a week. How about when you forgive others? That's the second one. The third one, when you serve in his church. Fourth, when you share his plan of salvation. Fifth, when you reach out to the hurting people. Sixth, when you give God your best. Seven, when you praise him enthusiastically from the heart. And it doesn't mean you got to be a charismatic person. It means that you need to make sure, and I need to make sure, that I express with enthusiasm of my soul that, oh God, you are the way, the truth, and the life. And Lord, I love you. I care about you. Lord, I thank you. I thank you for being my God and my Lord and my Savior and my King and my Redeemer. And as our thanksgiving expands, it should include three things. The blessings of life. I have an amazing wife. She's fantastic. You already know that, though. If you met her, you know. All right? So when she stands in front of dirty dishes in the sink, she praises God. Lord, I praise you for these dirty... No, she doesn't really do that, but who really does? But you know what? We should... We should praise God for dirty dishes. You don't know what I'm talking about, do you? That means we had food. That's what it meant. We had food. The baby agreed. I'm telling that baby, hallelujah, amen, that baby's saying. I love it. Listen very carefully to what I'm about to share. I'm going to skip ahead for a second. 1.2 billion, that's 20% of the world's population, now lives on less than $1 a day. Another 1.8 billion, 30%, lives on less than $2 a day. 800 million go to bed hungry every day, and 30,000 to 60,000 die each day from hunger alone. I don't know if that hits you, but it hits me. What are we doing? What are we doing? What are we doing? Us North American Christians. We have got to be people that actually realize what this world's like, what's actually going on. I've been to Honduras. And in Honduras, we had a missions trip down there I organized, and we all went down and we built a church building in a mountainous region of Honduras. And in this mountainous region, see how it says $1 a day? Well, there's these companies that come in and talk about fair trade. Like, they're fair trade companies. I don't want to get into it all. We can talk another time. But that's very, very complicated, and it sounds good. But what's so complicated about it is what happens when fair trade takes place a lot of times? That means other people will be without jobs. It doesn't always mean that, but when they're going to pay fair wages, that means they're going to cut jobs. And some of these people that are making a dollar a day, that's the only money they have coming in. And they live in shacks, and they don't have any shoes on their feet. They have clothes, but they wear them all the time, and they have nothing in their house. I meant to put the picture on this slide of the huts that I went into, but I've got to tell you that they had tin roofs and dirt floors and chickens. If they were fortunate, they had one chicken running around, and they saved it. And maybe they had two chickens. When we went to their homes, they gave us their best. Their best. They killed their only chicken and fed us. You want to talk about a powerful moment and a humbling moment? If you've never been on a missions trip to a third world country, we are going to do that this year. Because I promised my daughter and my son, I said to them, when you turn 11 years old, that's when you're going to be able to go on a missions trip to a third world country. Because I share with them all the time. We pray for missionaries overseas, and we pray for people that are hurt and dying, and people that are struggling with these very things. My kids know this stuff. And it's hard to share this with kids because it's tough. We're in a world that's in need. But look at how blessed we are. Even though we like to complain and gripe and groan, we are so insanely blessed. When we say we step out on faith, there are people that I've seen in third world countries that literally don't know where their next meal is coming from. May this Thanksgiving, when we eat so much turkey that we're about to explode, and we sit in front of the TV and watch a parade or a football game, may we actually reflect before the meal and after the meal and give thanks to God for placing us in a place like this, in a country like this, in the blessings that we have a home and we have a shelter and we have food. And there's people in New York City and New Jersey that are going through some tough times now. Did you know all over the world that's happening and gets no news coverage whatsoever? I don't want to depress anybody. But man, should we be thankful? Should we be thankful? So the last one here is, our Thanksgiving is expected. We are expected to give thanks to God. It's not like, you're all right. Just do whatever you want to do. No. If you have children, a lot of times children don't say thank you. If you've ever had a baby or you've known someone that has had a baby and had colic, how do you say that? Colic? I'm sorry. A colic? Colic? You know, the baby will not stop crying. You had a baby like that, didn't you? She told me a little story. And it's not that baby. That baby's, you get a thumbs up, baby. Yeah, you're smiling at me. I like that. But when a baby has that, you hold the baby, you cradle the baby, rock it, try to put the baby to sleep. Oh, the baby's asleep. The baby finally fell asleep. I'm so exhausted. It's been 8 hours. Rock the baby. Back down. The baby's not giving thanks. The baby's not going, thank you so much for holding me. You're the best mom or dad ever. Right? And as children get older, they may not say thank you. We kind of have to almost force our kids to say thank you sometimes, right? If you have a niece and nephew, you know what I'm talking about. Or you've seen a kid in a grocery store that's like pulling things off the shelf, and the mom's like, don't do that, don't do that. And they're throwing boxes. I've seen this before. You may have seen it on YouTube or something, but there's some crazy stuff that goes on with some of these kids. And the boy or the girl will take something and just put it in the cart and maybe even open it and eat it or whatever. And just this sense of entitlement and everything belongs to me. And he's just looking at me like I have six heads. Someone did that? But yeah, because kids don't understand what it means to be thankful sometimes. But other times they really, really do, don't they? And that's why it says, have faith like a child. Like a child. Be joyful always. Pray continually and give thanks in all circumstances for this. We're going to read this together. Let's back up. Ready? Are you ready? Be joyful always. Pray continually. Give thanks in all circumstances for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. Give thanks. Give thanks, give thanks, give thanks, give thanks.